Hey, career dads, a quick one before today's episode. A huge, huge shout out to Dominic Osborne, the latest Patreon subscriber. Dom, thank you so, so much. I hope you get a lot of value out of Patreon. And of course, a career dad mug is on its way to you as soon as they've made their way to me. I appreciate all of your support as always. And now let's get on with today's episode. Hi guys, I'm Dan Reed and welcome back to the Career Dad Show. When COVID hit, Arne Terry was prepared. In 2008, he was an international headhunter earning a six-figure salary and his work dried up overnight. He had to hustle harder than ever before, which included taking up a second job, meaning he had little time for family. He struggled with the guilt and embarrassment of that. Now Arne runs his own company and shares his tips of what he learned along the way. Welcome back to the Career Dad Show, and I'm joined today by Arne Terry. Arne, how are you?
I am great. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to this conversation with you.
So you are a blogger and social media guru, I guess.
I just call myself joking around using the Spider-Man theme, you know, your friendly social media guy. So that's what I just go around calling myself. You know, I'm just a friendly social media guy from the Speak to Me, Speak to Me. I got onto that journey just by going, when we was allowed back in the day, to go to, do you remember, seminars when you was allowed to meet people? And you was allowed to be close proximity with people. So I used to go to quite a few seminars and listen to, you know, famous people talk, you know, Gary Vee being one of them, and various other people as well, and went from seminar to seminar, and then went to coaching, to mentoring, and obviously paid for a course and paid for another course and paid for another course. And then I just started learning behind the scenes, to be fair, and then just took it from there. And, you know, people thinking, okay, well, what was you doing for your normal day job? And my normal day job has been a recruiter. So my day job, you know, has been a headhunter while I was doing all this. I've got a bit of a story to tell about that as well. But, you know, why I've become a social media professional and why I do my blogging and why I help others to, you know, achieve wealth or just have fun on social media.
And I saw that you were working in recruitment consultancy, which you were doing, you know, you've done for a little while now, but you were doing that in the 2008 recession, which had a huge impact on you, right?
Yeah, that was interesting. So back then, 2008, as we know, the credit crunch, the global economic disaster, and whatever you want to call it. So back then, 2008, so just setting the scene, 2005, I purchased a house with my fiance, now wife. 2007, we got married. 2008, we had our first born. So if you can just, you know, yeah, it was great getting a house, marriage, first born, but thinking about it as an accountant would probably think about, that the funds are going to be stacking up, or your expenses are going to be stacking up. So deposit for your house, furnishing the house, you know, buying other products for your property, then getting married, saving up for that, or getting on a loan as we did, and also your honeymoon as well. Then your firstborn, all these finances start stacking up. But you know, just like with, and I'm sure we'll get to that conversation, the pandemic, you don't know it's going to happen, you know, around the corner. So we never knew this was going to happen. So come 2008, we're in a great place. We're doing very well in terms of, you know, building up our family empire. And then we get struck by this. And just to give you a bit of an example, where I was at finance-wise as well, in recruitment back in 2008, it was more about having a big commission base rather than a salary. So obviously my mortgage, my loans, my car payments, you know, just lifestyle, going out, enjoying myself, was from my commission, which paid all that. And obviously when the global financial crisis hit, it was a massive disaster. Some may know, some may not know, it was the investment banks that got shaken up pretty hard. And guess who I was sourcing and supplying for? Investment banks. So one of them in particular being Bear Stearns, they went bump overnight, and I didn't realise, to be fair, until the next day. I think it was the next day, the contractor called me up, or whenever I was a contractor called me up, or a few contractors called me up and said they've got no jobs to go to, and it just had a massive knock-on effect, which meant that I wasn't earning commission from them, they didn't have a job, I had nowhere to put them into, because guess what? Majority of my clients were in the financial service sector. Yeah. So it was very interesting. So the first thing that happened was panic, then probably fear, then confusion, then, you know, what the F am I going to do? So I just, you know, went around like a headless chicken, first of all, thinking, you know, ringing more clients, ringing more people, trying to drum up more business. That wasn't happening because, you know, everyone just went on to kind of lockdown mode in terms of, right, okay, we don't know where we're going to be. Yeah, we're in a good position at the moment, but we don't know where we're going to be in 6 months, and we don't know what's going to happen in 9 months. Sounding familiar? So this is obviously back in 2008. So my commission started to deplete and become nothing. So then what did I do? I did what everyone else was doing, unfortunately. I got a second job. So I got a second job in Tesco supermarket, which is a big supermarket. So I wasn't working on a checkout or till or anything like that. I was working in the warehouse, basically bringing in clothing and doing all the mundane stuff. But actually, there's one bit of good thing I got from that. I actually got a suit from, they got a clothing range, F&F. I got a suit, a full suit, for £4.50. You know, it's who you know. And I always like laugh about that still to this day, because obviously when you're working for, you know, a company in the back office, you get certain things, and it was on sale, so I saw a suit, I was like, wow, £4.50 for suit pants and a suit jacket, and after that, so I bought, obviously use that for my recruitment side. But anyway, it wasn't all smiles, unfortunately. It was a bit of doom and gloom. So I was doing that for a while. And then, you know, people listening to this podcast will be thinking, well, what was you doing? Did I give up recruitment? Did I cut back on recruitment? No, I didn't. I was still working full-time in recruitment. But what happened, literally, on a Thursday evening, I would jump in my car, 6:30, jump in my car, race over to Tesco's for 7 o'clock, do my 5 hours on a Thursday night, do the same thing on a Friday night. Bearing in mind, I'm young, I'm outgoing, I like to go out, you know, enjoy myself. That wasn't happening at all. That all was stopped straight away. And then I did the same thing on Saturday, On the Saturday, I did a 10-hour working day.
Right.
And on Sunday, I did a four or five-hour working day. So I was doing that 7 days a week.
For how long?
Just under a year.
And you had a new dad.
Yeah, new dad. Yeah.
When are you seeing family and? Yeah, how was that? Because the answer is, well, you probably weren't.
What was that like? Well, first of all, there was guilt. So emotions came in. So there was obviously guilt, not being there as much as I should have been there. So that was guilt. Then obviously the missing out. And I sometimes felt like a zombie, as you would when you're working in those hours. And then there was obviously frustration. And I wouldn't say depression, but it was more, it was more the missing out. And then obviously, again, well, not obviously, then there was the side of, how should I put it, embarrassment, because, yeah. And then what came, and what I mean by embarrassment is, at the time, I believed I had to have a nice car, so I had an Audi, nearly new Audi, A4, 2.4, you know, V6 Sport, or S-Line, I should say. I sold that, then got an absolute banger.
How did you, and you touched on it there, but how did you feel about having to say, yeah, do you know what, I need the second job? Yeah, things that you might have looked at other people for in the past and thought, ooh.
It goes back into the day when I was a lot younger, when I was like, you know, I'm taking you back to 92, 93, 94 now, when I was in high school. And, you know, mum, typical mum, from Africa, Sierra Leone, comes to the UK, you know, traditionally what the black African women go into, NHS. So my mum was an NHS worker, low hours, so high hours, low paid.
Yeah.
We was a family that we got excited when we knew my mum wasn't going to be working Christmas Day the next year, you know, because she was working constantly. So never had much money. So this goes back into then when, you know, when I was in school, friends had a bit more money than me, but that wasn't, I wouldn't bother. But I would think about other solutions. So my solution was selling sandwiches. So, back in the day, I would sell sandwiches, so I'd be making between £5 to £10 a week on just selling sandwiches. So, it's kind of been put into me of having a lack, to be fair, and then finding a way to get into it. So there's kind of that as well. And then fast forward a bit more, when I first started into recruitment, I did do a lot of industrial recruitment. So your pickers, your packers, your forklift truck drivers. And I had a load of, I used to work with a load of Polish, Romanians, because back then the Romanians just came into the EU. So a load of Romanians came into the country. And these guys were just hungry. They were so hungry just to work. And so it's kind of like I just had to put my mindset into them. Yes, I did feel sorry for myself a lot. No, I didn't want to sell the car, but I just had to change my mindset and just think, how thankful I am to, have a house, have a wife, have a child.
Yeah.
So it was very, very tough, and I think that's what drove me and forced me to go down the corporate side so much, because I had more drive, more determination, corporate. In hindsight, I probably would have done it differently. And then started my social media journey earlier, but I was so focused on getting that six-figure package.
Yeah.
I just, blinkers on, and I was just doing whatever I could to get there.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's, it's when, as you say, something hits, blindsides you that you just so unexpected. What kind of can you do? And it's interesting because where you live in
Manchester.
Yeah. So I grew up in Sheffield, So I used to work for like a government funded recruitment agency that was focused on. And this was 2008 to 2009. So this was, I basically finished my degree, went to the States for 4 months and thought, oh, I'll find a job when I come back because the market's great. And then you come back and the market's not great. So I got this job, but it was working with, asylum seekers, refugees, and trying to find them job, and also with kind of, British nationals as well. And it's interesting, when you were talking about, the more like lower skilled workers, and you're talking about, the Romanians and the Polish. And the thing that I found when I was in that job was that when there was a couple of Burmese guys, and when they weren't looking for jobs, they were just out just like picking up litter in the streets.
Yes.
And they're just like, well, we're a part of this community.
Yes.
So we're going to do what we can whilst we're not able to give back. And I just think that, when anyone gives, quote, foreigners a bad time, I just think you need to meet some of these people because they're bloody hard-working people.
We could literally have a separate podcast just on that.
Yeah,
just the English versus the Polish and the Romanians that I was working with.
Yeah.
And they wasn't showing up for jobs, but
yes,
the Polish were. So I'm not saying it's a
blanket. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But that's just my experience that I have. For my time back then, when I first started out my recruitment journey, so it was very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said that you were doing this dual, and you must have been doing, I'm just trying to work it out, you must have been doing 60-70 hours a week.
Yeah, more than that, because my recruitment I was doing like 10 hours a day minimum.
Yeah.
So I would do 50 hours a week just in recruitment.
Yeah. Okay.
So
if that went on for a year, what pulled you out of that? What happened and you started to think this could be good?
The thing that pulled me out from that, first of all, was my client started to come back to me.
Right.
Because I was so focused. It wasn't like, oh, I found another career or found something different. I basically rode the wave or went through the storm or whatever you want to call it, what analogy you want to use. As that was getting easing off and I was getting new clients, because I went into more of like government-based clients where, you know your governments, your public sectors, they've got a budget, they've got to spend that budget or they're going to lose it for next year. So I changed my strategy to work for different corporations or different business rather than the finance sector. And I went for other companies as well that I knew would have a budget. So I just changed my strategy to win more clients in, and obviously finished the job at good old Tesco supermarket. And then two things happened. One, as I said, I was really focused on climbing the corporate ladder. And another thing was, I said to myself, I don't want to be in that situation again if something like this hit. So I literally tried different things, but I was shiny object syndrome, where I would try something and put it down. You know, like, you know, as you would, you go to trading seminar, you go, oh yeah, I could be a trader. You'd be like, actually, what's trading? And then you try it, and you think, no, I don't want to try it. Then you go into multi-level marketing and you try something else, You know, and then I was all over the place because I was thinking, like, you know, by 2010, I'm going to be a millionaire. I was like, no, you're not. So just stick to your recruitment. So I climbed the ladder and I did well, climbing it up and going to different companies, and then, you know, becoming from a senior to a principal to a team lead to a manager to a head of practice, hirer, firer, controller, profit and loss, you know, all that stuff, all that headache that comes with when you're climbing the corporate ladder. So that was kind of my recruitment journey. Then my son was born in 2010, but I wasn't learning from a mistake in terms of the hours I was doing. So if anyone's listening to this and, you know, and you've got a job role which, you know, a lot of responsibility, the most responsibility is your family and your children. So if anyone's listening to this now, is the priority should be on your wife or your husband, vice versa, and it should be on your children. You know, forget that job. The work's still going to be there the next day. But I was so focused to do more, be more, climb the ladder, I neglected that. So I was, you know, I was a lot of times I was in the office like, you know, 7:30, and I wasn't finishing to 7:30, 8:00, coming home. And then, I was the kind of dad that would have my tea by myself, you know, 8:00, 9:00 at night, where, you know, everything's been done and I don't see him. So it's, you know, very, very interesting. So that happened, and I was basically just saying to myself, I need to start my own business. And I taught myself out of it. Must have been about 100 times. So, you know, fast forward it, you know, or should I say dial it back to 2 years ago, I started my own international headhunting company, recruitment. And then simultaneously, that's when I started to do the social media. The reason why I did that was, for one, I realized I was always hanging out on LinkedIn. So I was doing my social media, I was doing my ad copy, I was, you know, doing my adverts, et cetera, et cetera. So I was doing all the social media stuff. I was helping clients with their social media. I was helping them with talent attraction and talent retention as well, mainly on the talent attraction side, because obviously you're going out to use your social media to attract. So I was already doing that. So that's when I got the bug for seminars and meeting people and going to masterminds and getting coached and invested my time and money, you know, flying here, flying there, meeting different people. So I had it in my mind what I was going to do. And that was obviously going to be set up my own company as a recruitment. While I'm doing that, I can fund my social media business or vice versa. And you know what? If I want to have a lion, I can have a lion. If I'm going to go to the dentist, I'm not going to have to ask for permission that I need to go to the dentist. Yeah. If I'm taking my children to school, whatever time I want, I'll take them to school, because my life evolves around literally how quickly I could get the children into. I would always do the school run, the morning run, but it was always the nursery stroke breakfast club. Yeah. So I would literally, I had it literally mapped out in my head. So I'd literally drop this was obviously a few years ago. So I'd drop my daughter off at school, and then Breakfast Club, and I'd go the other way and drop my son off at nursery. And looking if the work was on the way, so yeah. You know, dropping them off at 7:30 in the morning, going there, and then when my son came into school, and doing the same thing. So they'd both go to Breakfast Club, which was great because it was at the same school, but it was always rushed. But then when I started my own journey, it was like, no, Breakfast Club stopped. Yeah. After school stopped, you know, I'm going to take him to school. I'm going to be that parent in the yard, running around, playing tick with the kids, you know, and just, you know, just enjoying myself before school happened or after school happened. But I'm making this sound easy. It wasn't easy because obviously when you're starting up your business, and just to put into perspective, the role that I left was a six-figure package role. So I went from that to earning zero. Because once you start your own business, you've got no guarantee that anything's going to come in.
Yeah, and so I've got two main questions on that. So what was the kids' reaction to when you'd stopped the Breakfast Club and you were like, I'm doing this now, and Breakfast Club's kind of over, and you know, what do they think?
Do you know what? I'm so glad you brought that up. Oh my gosh, I was hurt because my son was like, oh. I want to still go Breakfast Club. Do you know why? Because I had a computer in Breakfast Club. So he could go on the computer, and he was the best at one of the games in the morning. So he was like, oh, I want to still go Breakfast Club. My daughter was really happy because, you know, she's a bit lazier. So she likes the lay-ins and stuff like that rather than getting up really early. But my son was like distraught. He was like, oh, when can we go back to Breakfast Club? I was like, no. You're not going back to Breakfast Club. I'm now taking you to school. You don't have to get up early, you know. We're not, like, in the car for 7:15 getting to school and rushing. But, yeah, so I thought I was going to be, like, a, you know, superhero. I kind of imagined myself, you know, my hands on my hips with a cape behind my neck. Yeah. The kids come on, Dad, you're great. No.
Kids are cruel menaces, because I know when pre-pandemic, and I used to kind of surprise my son, he's six now, and I'd say, I'm working from home tomorrow, so I can take you to school, and he was like, no, Nanny's taking me to school, and I'm like, okay.
You think you're gonna get this big cuddle going, yes, Dad, great, Dad. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, but great question. And it was like, you know, but he came round to it. He appreciated it.
He preferred
when I picked him up, and it was great picking up and them coming running over to you with a school bag in their hand. There you go. There's a school bag. Or, you know, there's a picture that I've drawn for you, or there's something that I've done, which I never really had, to be fair.
And the other question I wanted to ask you was going from that six-figure package to nothing, like to no guarantee. How did you have to save up a lot of savings for that, or did you have this belief based on your experience prior that if it all went wrong, or if it didn't quite work out, you'd just get another job and it'll be all right?
And that was it. I had money saved up, but I've never mentioned this before. I did something that was a bit silly, and I don't advise anyone to do this, because at that time when I was doing that, I'm trying to make sure the dates are right here. We just got pregnant with our third, who's 2.5 now. So she was born in February 2018. So we literally just thought we're pregnant, let's buy a house. So we literally bought a bigger house. And I'm not saying it's the right thing or wrong thing to do, but in hindsight, it could have been different, because the house that we bought, we could have stayed in our current house, and we could have got two other houses on buy to let, or maybe three, because we upgraded on the house rather than staying where we was, because because with the family was growing, I wanted the biggest space for him, so we did that. So I think it was like, am I learning my lesson here? I'm sure I am. But anyway, so I did that. And then obviously then I started my own business shortly after, when obviously moved into the house. But luckily enough, we had money saved up anyway. Yeah. And I'm a new business person anyway. I'm a sales guy. I'm not an account manager. Where I'm waiting for roles to come to me. So I'm what some would call a hunter. Yeah. So I was looking for my next clients to get.
I guess it's kind of you're doing what you've always done. You're just doing it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly the thing as well, where the company I'm working for is never, I'm calling from this company. It's Arne Terry. I'm an international headhunter. You know, these are the companies I recruited with, or these are the people that you may know of who have been put into these high positions that you may be aware of. So it was never me talking about the company. It was me talking about myself, successes and other businesses that I've worked with. So there was never that fear of getting the people. It was just kind of the uncertainty. But that's where I think I do best in, not having that comfort zone, having that, what else are you going to do now? But again, like I say, anyone listen to it, it wasn't plain sailing, it wasn't easy. There was a lot of stress involved, you know, me going through my business plan, making sure everything was going on well, me making, you know, hundreds of calls a day, and just basically drumming up the business again. While I was doing that simultaneously as well, it was better for me because I could plan my day better because I'm taking kids obviously to school. And then I had pretty much from, I'd get on like 9-ish, just after 9 o'clock. So I had from like 9 till 3 to do my new business, do my calls, do whatever. And then I'd pick the kids up from school again. And then do my bit. And then my wife's working. So that's why obviously she would then take over later on. So I would, you know, cut the tea for the kids, and then my wife would then, pick up later on in the afternoon and do what she had to do with the kids as well. So it was great for me because I could set my agenda meetings, you know, between those times, between the call times of 10 and 2. But there was a time when I did forget to pick my son up, which was really bad. I was literally in, where is it? I was in Cheadle. There's a business park. I can't, for the life of me, it's gone out of my head, but I was in the client meeting. More of a friend short client meeting. You know, we've done business together, so it wasn't like an important thing. And we were speaking, and I literally just looked at it and said, "What's the time?" I literally just jumped up and ran, and I said, "My son has finished school. I need to get home now."
How old was he at this point?
Oh, this was recent. This was like late end of 2019. So my son was 9.
Yeah,
son was 9. So luckily enough, I phoned my wife, and her work's flexible. My wife went down and picked him up. So that's the only time when I kind of got lost in the moment. But it was like a business associate friend, and we had a coffee, then we had a chat, we had another coffee, and it was like, "Oh, do you want to order some food?" "Yeah, let's order some food." I didn't even get to eat the food, by the way.
Oh no.
I got up and ran. But that was a blooper from my side, you know, hold my hands up to that. But lucky enough, no, my wife came to the rescue and picked him up.
One thing that I'm really fascinated on is that you've got this recruitment business that you've set up, but the social media as well.
Yeah.
So are they, what, so do you do social media consultancy as well, or is it more how recruiters, you kind of train recruiters on how to be, you know, social sellers or
obviously when the shutdown pandemic happened is I had, let's just say, a couple of pennies that disappeared because I had my recruitment business, had people due to start, and then all those roles got put on hold. A lot of them got cancelled, in fact. Some got put on hold. And then it was a case of, right, okay, I know at that time, it was like, when these roles close, I don't really have to work for the rest of the year if I didn't want to. And that's how significant that the money was. But it all disappeared. And, you know, if it's not in the bank, it's not in the bank.
Yeah.
And that was obviously due to the pandemic. So that disappeared. So what happened in the background, luckily enough, I was doing my social media thing. I didn't have the confidence, you know, back then. So last year was, you know, coaching and teaching family members, friends. And then I had a client I was dealing with in Dubai, just giving them a bit of information. And I thought, you know, they asked me one of these things, how much do you charge? Okay, I'll charge. You know, and then give them a figure, you don't expect them to bite on the figure, and they did. So that's where I went. And so that's what I did. So I started consulting, and just only a handful of clients on like social media presence, just how, you know, the basic things, setting up a blog, getting utilization on a blog, setting a YouTube channel, how to set it up properly, you know, doing it the right way, and then giving them information about why blogging is important, why setting up a YouTube channel is important, you know, how to get your following on Instagram, those basic things on there as well. So I was basically doing that when this hit, and then it was like, right, okay, I need to step up the pace a bit more. Right, so what else have you learned? So it's kind of like, what else have you learned? These seminars that you've been to, all these coaching courses that you've been to, these mentors that you've got, what else have you learned? Right, okay, affiliate marketing, selling other people's products. Right, okay, I'm going to do that. So I'll start doing that, where you go onto Facebook, you find the product, you put an ad out, you know, you start your ad out like, you know, £5 a day, and then you start scaling up to maybe £10, maybe £20 a day. You know, you're sending this product around the world, then you might make 20 quid in profit, and it goes to 30 quid, and you know, then you're making £300 a day, £400 a day. And then that's how I started getting the money back, by basically doing that. So just basically by doing affiliate marketing. Yeah. But I had a bad experience with that, and a lot of people do, which is Facebook on the business management accounts. So they shut down your ad account, and I just got really frustrated with all the legislation, you know, setting up an account, doing an account with that. So I was like, okay, what else can you do? While that's sorting out, what else can you do? Right, okay. You can create your course on how to dominate social media. So that's why that came about. So I created my online digital course to help people dominate social media. And it just gives them information about, like I was coaching and teaching my consulting with my clients. But then I'm giving it to the masses, giving it to people, obviously at a fraction of the cost. So I set that up, and that's in the internet now. So that's, you know, playing its way on YouTube ads, money coming in, and then also I've obviously got my blog as well. So that's basically what I'm doing. I'm, you know, I'm skilling up, I'm reading all these books on mindset, on to numbers, on wording, just basically getting myself better, and obviously surrounding myself with some of the best coaches and mentors out there as well, to make sure when I'm delivering courses and when I'm speaking to people, I'm giving them, you know, good information that they can use, and then they can utilize that to do better in whatever they want to do as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've read the book or heard of the book, The Richest Man in Babylon. It's a great book about Babylonian times, about finances, wealth, and stuff like that. The way that we use civilization about 10,000 years ago in the banking system now, and other financial system. Long story short, anyway, I read it, so I let my daughter read it, and she hated it because it's kind of like in broken English, the way that it's written. And she read it and was like, right, great, read it again. So I made her read the book again, and then she got really excited. She was like, oh dad, I finally finished the book for the second time now, do you want the book back? I was like, no, that book's your Bible for now until I find you a different book. And wow. Where my son's more analytical, he's very good with numbers. He's only 9, he's gonna be 10 in November, so he's very good with numbers. So I've got this big book on stockbroker, like I think it's called, I can't remember what it's called, but like Life of Stockbroker or something like that. So it's a really famous book. I didn't read, I only read half of it because I had more books that I was going to read, so I'll just give it to my sons to write, okay, read that book. So he went through like that.
Wow.
I just believe to help you educate your kids. Don't get me wrong, they've got all the Diary of Wimpy Kids and all that book, you know, the David Williams and all those books, of, you know, full to the top. But I think it's good as well to help them with kind of knowledge, so they've got wisdom.
No, I completely agree. You know, I've always said, so my son's 6, and I said that in an age-appropriate way, I've always talked to him not as a kid. Just so even today, he was asking, what do I do for a job? which is like, wow, don't make me think too much about that, otherwise you've got to curl up in a corner. But and it's you know, you say, oh, I kind of do websites and stuff, and he's like, well, what do you mean? And then you start, you know, talking it through, and you know, he's just getting into coding in a big way now, which is great. And it's like, but at the same time, he spends a lot of time playing, you know, Nintendo. And I think it's just that balance, isn't it? I think if you can introduce them to this world that they are a part of, whether we want them to be or not, but also let them be kids and just let them, you know, enjoy things, I think that's a really good blend, isn't it?
It's the balance, and it's so difficult. I don't think there's right or wrong. But the balance that I try and do with my kids is when they get up, to do the morning affirmations, they read the book, they do the guitar lessons, which when I say guitar lessons, all I'm doing, I'm trying to make it fun. So they've got a guitar, so I'll just go onto YouTube, play whatever tune, as long as it's just strumming, doing something a bit creative, using the fingers, using the mind, rather than just watching a screen just to tap buttons to play a game. So I'm just like, do that, right, okay, son, go and play Fortnite, it's fun. Fortnite fanatic, not leaving something else in a minute. So I'll just do that, and then let them do coloring as well, because it's great for your imagination, it's great for concentration. And that's, you know, like, this didn't just come to me, stuff like that. I googled it, something for concentration, because I think that's something that my son struggles with. And so rather than me shouting at him all the time and, you know, blah blah, so let me go look to see what I can do for the concentration. And apparently coloring is really good. So I've got some of these adult coloring books where it's got all these big patterns and stuff like that, so they can just literally color. So they're doing that. And going back to my son about Fortnite from Fanatic, so I've got them to create their own blog as well. So the bloggers, so my son's blog is called Fortnite for Fanatics, because he's obviously my daughter's she's always on TikTok, even though now it's so boring. You see, when she's like near enough teenager now, so she loves TikTok, then she doesn't love TikTok. But anyway, she's got a blog called what's her blog? TikTok Fanatics or something like that. Her blog. So I get them to do that, and I've got them to monetize their blog as well, so they get bits of So what I teach is, you know, it can be for children as well. Literally, how to create a blog, how to set up, how to monetize. Basically, it just means how to make money from your blog. And that's what I teach, and that's what I do. I just try and serve whoever is interested, you know, it's plain and simple as that.
That's amazing. That's really, really cool. And I think that's a really good segue into, if someone wants to find out more about you, or, you know, wants to get in touch with you because they're either their own personal brand or their own company or whatever it is, what is the best way for them to do that?
First of all, if you want to just check out some of YouTube videos, the basic, so just go onto YouTube and just type in Alan Terry. But if you want to get in contact with me, get me on Instagram. It's probably the best thing. That's where everyone seems to be hanging out now. So just, you know, find me on Instagram, which is Alan Terry, or my company name, which is Freetown Mindset. And then obviously send me a direct message, and I'll be happy to get back in contact with you on there. But I'm hanging out on pretty much everything else, so obviously Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter as well.
I'll put those links on the write-up of the podcast when that goes live as well. And I think definitely a few weeks ago this was the case, I don't know if it still is now, but EduTalk is the largest trending hashtag on TikTok, educational TikTok, so it's, you know, I'm quite a big TikTok fan. I'm not on the dances either, but it's funny, because when I joined TikTok and it's all about, you know, dad life and careers, and, you know, how to nail that corporate interview, and people like, who's going to want to see this? But people do.
I didn't think anyone's going to check it out, but I'm starting to get more people coming onto it. But I hang out more on YouTube. That's more my jam at the moment. And just one more thing. The reason why YouTube is so great is because once you do a post on like TikTok, Instagram, you get your instant likes. You get, you know, it's up there to begin with, but then it kind of fizzles down. The great thing about when you post a video on YouTube, it's there forever. So you may only get 10 views, 20 views, 50 views, 1,000 views, but it just literally keeps extrapolating month after month, year after year. And that's how many people do it. So it's not a quick thing, but it's more a steady and stable way to grow your business. So do that, check out YouTube and also Google own YouTube. YouTube are the second largest search engine in the world.
Yeah.
Google are the first largest, are the first search engine in the world, and Google own YouTube. Yeah. So it's just a no-brainer. Get onto YouTube.
Absolutely. So my last question, and you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'm just interested, is if you were speaking to a new parent or someone about to be a parent, what is the best piece of advice that you would give them?
So they've never children before. They've just been from a parent.
Yeah, they're going, oh my God, it's going to happen.
Don't take life so serious. And that's probably me talking about myself, because I was victim from it. Took it too serious. I was too much, you know, don't touch this, don't touch that. You know, if you're one who likes nice things and you're having a kid, you know, forget the nice things. You're going to get paint on the wall. You're going to get drawings in places. You might not find it straight away. You might find it a month later. Yeah. You know, there's only so much you can do. The kids, at the end of the day, let them enjoy themselves, you know.
Yeah.
The kids for a reason.
Absolutely. And I think a phrase that I've said more than I thought I would have since becoming a dad is, don't worry, we can paint over that.
Yeah.
You really can.
Yeah.
Well, Arne, look, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for making the time.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. It's been a great gratitude. And please find me on whatever avenue you can do, Arne Terry, or find me on freetimemindset.com.
That's all we've got time for this week. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Career Dad Show. If you did, have you got 10 seconds to rate the podcast? Maybe you've got 20 and can write a review. I appreciate all of you guys for listening. See you next week. Stay cool, be kind.